across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, June 7th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. All across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media feeds, and podcast, I got a question for you. After today, what will America do now that Pat Sajak won't be on TV every night? Actually, if Greg has the conspiracy theory music, I'll ask the question another way. What are the odds the next time we see Pat Sajak is in Milwaukee as Donald Trump's running mate? The folks that actually know, you know, Pat Sajak's comments and things behind the scenes are not surprised by that at all. But let's stick with the Wheel of Fortune. Happy trails to Pat Sajak after however 40 whatever years it was. Greg Bach is here as well. He's going to get a formal introduction in a moment here. But Pat Sajak, you going to miss him? Him and Vanna White doing their thing?
Is she leaving too?
I don't know. I remember there was like a contract dispute, and they're bringing on Ryan Seacrest, and so
really
probably want yeah. Oh yeah.
Does he just not turn anything down?
He does not. No.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So. No, I don't care. I want to care. Okay. Wheel of Fortune. Here's the weird thing, Pat. It's about Wheel of Fortune, and like growing up, I don't know if it's still like this, but it was Wheel of Fortune, and there was Jeopardy, one back to back. Yep. And when I was younger, Wheel of Fortune was like the easy game. Like you're like, oh, I got that one. That's easy.
Well, it's Hangman. You're playing Hangman.
Yeah, it's a Hangman guessing game. It's fun. And Jeopardy was like the impossible game. Like you just can't get anything right. And now it's switched. Where I watch Jeopardy, I know a lot of the answers, and I watch Wheel of Fortune. I'm like, just give me the whole puzzle. I don't understand. I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is.
Yep. Well, and they were like the two survivors, if you will.
Yeah.
Because we grew up in an era, or at least I did, where on weekday mornings, before you had all these talk shows, you know, The Talk, The View, you know, Third Hour of Today, it was back to back. Every network had, you know, 3 hours of game shows.
Yeah.
You know, and so pretty soon it was just down to those two, and now they've both, you know, rotated through their hosts. So I don't know that they'll be sticking around as well. Which is, you know, not everything lasts forever. Not even Pat Sajak after all those years. So happy trails.
And retirement, he'll be able to espouse his crazy ideas at all. My God.
He's not going quietly into the sunset. Trust me. You can reach us here at 855-75-CIVIC by phone or by text, or use the Civic Media app. Let me tell you what else we're covering today. The chair of the Democratic National Committee, Jamie Harrison, is going to talk about his upcoming visit to Wisconsin this weekend for the Democratic State Convention. He'll talk about the efforts being made to communities of color and the clear distinction he describes between the economic records of President Biden versus former President Trump. In our second hour, Jennifer Schulze pinch hits for Mark Jacob as we look at media coverage of the week's big stories. We've already talked about the New York Times being strangely hostile to President Biden in its coverage, to which the Wall Street Journal recently replied, "Hold my beer," and published a hit piece surprising even by its already low expectations. So Jennifer has written an essay about that, and we'll talk to her. Kia Vakil is off this week. We'll see him again next week. A great story about why we won't hear from him in a minute. But first, I've got these temperatures I'd better not forget. It's 56 here on Lake Wissota, 50 in Hayward and in Park Falls. Wausau's at 54, Green Bay 59, La Crosse 61. Wisconsin Rapids coming in at 56 this morning, Oshkosh 59, Madison 59, and it's 55 in Waukesha. Have we ever described it as Waukesha, where Greg Bach is sitting and wakes up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, grabs his
No.
No.
Never compare me to that man ever again.
No, I meant Kesha. Just do you before you leave, did you brush your teeth with a bottle of Jack? Because when I leave for the night, I ain't
you
coming do, back.
Okay, you know what? All right, that's it. Okay, a couple things.
What?
You're no longer allowed to diagnose yourself with the terminal, like, I'm an old man and I don't understand the kids. You just quoted Kesha. Okay?
Let me tell you why. My grandson, who is about to turn 18, my first
is
grandson,
he saying those lyrics?
When he was 5, he heard the song, and he, you know, as a kid, you don't know the verses at all,
yeah,
but you know the chorus. And this 5-year-old's bouncing around going, tick, tock, don't stop, blah, 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 blah. And we're listening to the song going, I hope that kid doesn't listen to the rest of the lyrics, but, you know, a lot of kids love that song. What's the kid bops? Is that the name of it? Where they take, you know, popular songs, and suddenly it's like, I don't think those are the original lyrics,
no,
but the kids like it, so it's okay. So that was my exposure to Kesha, lest I let anybody think for a moment I might be reasonably hip.
You just quoted the non-kid bops lyrics, so once again, my point stands.
I appreciate your point, and I appreciate my Google machine.
I want you to embrace your understanding and love of the kids' music, even though that song's like, I think, 20 years old. But yeah, okay, so do you know Kesha's relationship to Waukesha?
No.
Okay, I'll make this very quick. Years ago, when she first came out, when she had the dollar bill sign in her name, this is a long time ago, when she first came out as an artist, her management called City Hall here in Waukesha and said, hey, we'd love to bring Kesha to Waukesha and call it Waukesha Day. We'll have a free concert. We're just doing promotion. It'll be great for the city. It'll be great for her. It's perfect. Her name is in your name, and we can make it really fun. And, you know, most municipalities be like, yeah, absolutely, let a new star come down here. Waukesha is basically like, before they can enter, end the sentence, no thank you, click. And that was it. And I was like, oh, come on, Waukesha, make me proud.
Which is weird because, I mean, when most people think of, you know, Waukesha, you kind of think that the S at the end of it is a dollar sign, you know, just like Kesha's name. You're like, oh, this makes perfect sense.
Well, they're spending dollar bills to get that water from Milwaukee, am I right?
Boom. Yeah, there you go. Speaking of the water from Milwaukee, Pabst Blue Ribbon. Did you see their new pack of beer to mark 180 years?
No.
Instead of, not a 12-pack, not a 24-pack, not a 36-pack, a 180-pack of Pabst.
No.
Yes.
Even alcoholics are like, that's too much beer.
Yeah, 180 that you can get that 180-pack for, let's see, it says here $99.99. According to the photo from one of these liquor stores out there. So
no.
On the one hand, congrats to Pabst for 180 years. On the other hand, no. I don't know how long it would take to get through a 180-pack. Alicia Saunders up in northeast Wisconsin says, the sun is attempting to peek out in Green Bay with the cottonwood floating like snow, which is, we went through that like 3 weeks ago. I'm a little surprised it's happening out there now, but I suppose every region's a little bit different. We don't have that. And you probably, have you had that come and go already? Where like for a few days there, it almost feels like you're in a blizzard.
No, actually the it has been flowing through it that I've noticed at least. It's been pretty clear.
Okay.
At least in Kenosha, and I haven't noticed it in Waukesha.
But you're, so without the spring allergies notwithstanding, you are recovering from being under the weather earlier this week.
Yeah, I just sound terrible.
Well, I mean, insert punchline here, but yeah, you're getting better. You're on the mend.
Okay.
Nice to have you.
There's no need
here
for a punchline. Be there for your fellow man, bro.
I'm sorry. It's, you know, it's 6:15 in the morning. And sometimes we're not fully awake and all of our faculties.
Somebody posted a thing about Vanna White on the text line.
Oh, dear.
They posted a picture, though. They said, White extended her contract in September through 2025-2026 and will help shepherd Sajak's replacement. Okay. All right. This isn't brain surgery, people. We're not.
Well, that's good for Vanna. That's from Lynn in Oconomowoc. Thank you very much, Lynn. We appreciate that. So there you go. There will be a little bit more Vanna and more guessing of, I wonder if the puzzles will get different now that you've got somebody young and hip like Seacrest coming in, young and hip. What is he, 45 now?
Something I think he's older than I am.
Yikes. So I don't know. I don't know if the puzzles will change. In the news this morning, we're going to cover some ground here with Kia Vakil being off. I was going to tell that story. Kia's fine. Kia was all set to join us. We record, you know, late Thursday for Friday morning because he's out in L.A. But his Wi-Fi went out. And so when he reached me, it was from a coffee shop where, I mean, you can imagine a Los Angeles coffee shop.
Ugh.
And his cable company was like, yeah, it might be 6 hours. It might be more. And, you know, by the time he'd be done, it would be like past my bedtime. I'm like, oh, we'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
You know how it is with the Wi-Fi.
It may be 2 hours. You might have four more children.
Between this window and that window, it's like, that's how we're doing this? Yes, that's exactly how we're doing this. So thankfully, the Wi-Fi here is working well. I can tell you that the Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday. They are in Detroit for the start of a three-game series that opens tonight. First pitch at 5:40. You can catch the pregame at 5:05 on Civic Media stations that include news from the center in Richland Center, WRJAN in Racine Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. So we'll see how the Brewers there do. The coverage that I was reading, you know, about the getting swept in Philly is that there's nothing to really panic about. Yeah, it's disappointing to lose three, but you're losing 3-2, you know, the best team in the National League. And the Brewers are one of the best teams, but that is also because somehow they haven't gone into free fall with all of the injuries to the pitching staff. And there's still, I mean, Robert Gasser is the latest one who went on the injured list. Aaron Ashby is back, but clearly not, you know, at peak performance yet. So the Brewers, while they are five and a half games up now on the Cubs because they lost last night, you know, the Brewers, they're there and they're exciting to watch, but don't get cocky. You know, this three-game losing streak could turn into more with just a little bit of bad luck. So let's just enjoy the games while they're here. And again, catch those on those Civic Media stations throughout the course of the weekend. All right, when we come back, we've got a lot of news to unpack, including Tom Tiffany deciding a couple of days before D-Day to vote against supporting NATO. We've got also congressional candidate Tony Weed in Northeast Wisconsin. Apparently, the people circulating his nomination petition to get on the ballot weren't exactly on the up and up as they were gathering signatures. We'll have that story and more coming up in a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. I mean, you didn't think we were going to forget that it's Yacht Rock Friday on this June 7th on Up North News Radio. Look how happy I've made Greg. It's just so nice. He's finished the book. I feel like instead of moving on to some other book, we've got to continue the Michael McDonald thing. Maybe there's a biopic you can watch or a documentary.
I would, my goodness. So I watched the Beach Boys documentary this week.
Okay.
Not good. It wasn't good. First of all, Beach Boys, I don't enjoy them. But I'll watch a documentary about bands like that. I mean, they're important.
Sure.
But it wasn't good. It should have been longer. I mean, it was just one of those things where, like, 20 minutes into the documentary, we've released four records. Like, no, 20 minutes in. So...
Yeah, you always want to hear more of an origin story. And
yeah.
I forget which Marvel movie it was. Oh, it was Captain Marvel. Yeah. Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. Is it Brie Larson?
Yes.
Could have done way much more on the origin story of that one. And the same goes with these documentaries. It's like, oh, yeah, well, we're trying to, like you said, we're dealing with the success here. No, wait, what?
Yeah.
How did you get to the success? I don't care about once the, you know, you've got the private airplanes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing to me is like the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones. I mean, the Beatles have a thing called the anthology. It's 10 hours long and it covers their career. And that's great. It's wonderful to watch. Very detailed. And I think the Beach Boys, though not a band I enjoy, absolutely deserve a 4 to 6 hour documentary really digging into their 50-year career. Mm-hmm. And so, but then, you know, Then I watched the Jim Henson's documentary yesterday. Very, very beautiful. I was just emotional the entire time.
Oh, and you watched it? Okay. Yeah, I watched it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, God. But I would rather watch. My point is I would not be happy if they were like, we're coming out with a Michael McDonald biopic. I'd be like, ugh, can you just give me like a 3-hour documentary? I'd much rather watch interviews.
Yes.
Than watch. Because then I'm going to go, is this story even true? Or how true is it? Or, you know, it's like this.
No, I'm a big fan of oral histories, even in book form. You know, I'm reading the oral history of Late Night with David Letterman right now.
Ooh, and, I'm going to put that on my wish list.
I highly recommend the book that is an oral history of the beginnings of ESPN. Again, just a really good origin story one.
Okay, I'm putting those all on my wish list.
So there you go. We've got your update from the Up North News Radio Book Club. At 6:23, we mentioned this in passing, and I wanted to, again, emphasize, according to this story in the Associated Press, that Eric Hovde, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, you may have seen an ad recently that features, you know, these three guys sitting in a bar, you know, griping about, you know, illegal immigrants and, you know, inflation and, you know, whatever else they wanted to grouse about. But the words weren't necessarily their own, because the ad fails to disclose that the three men aren't just any old guys in a bar. They're senior employees of Eric Hovde's real estate company, without being disclosed about that. And as Baldwin's campaign mentioned, said they're not really talking to, you know, some of the real issues that people are dealing with these days. But again, you can check the Associated Press article on the web for a little bit more detail about that. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a story about congressional candidate Tony Weed in the 8th district up in northeast Wisconsin. He is now, according to this story by Lawrence Andrea, facing accusations of misrepresenting his nomination papers while collecting signatures to qualify to get on the ballot. Apparently, petitioners for Weed at a farmer's market in Green Bay last month asked people to sign papers to help the homeless. He is a three-person race right now. And Tony Thiessen, a former alderman who volunteered to collect signatures for one of Weed's primary opponents, State Senator Andre Jacques, said that two different petition circulators for Weed on the morning of May 25th were asking farmers market shoppers to sign Weed's papers by presenting them as a petition for housing for the homeless. Another person has also come forward to saying that that's exactly what the person told them, that they were not signing Tony Weed's campaign nomination papers, but a petition to help the homeless. Weed's campaign on Thursday said that was a dirty political trick, being accused of that. In other words, denying the accusations that are being made against his petition signers. You shouldn't have to do that. It's just to get on the petition. Doesn't mean you're going to vote for the person. It's just to get on the ballot. And yet, if you have to tell people, oh, you're helping the homeless or some other charitable act, maybe just because you have Donald Trump's endorsement, you're not as popular as maybe you think you are. Yesterday was a very emotional day, marking the 80th anniversary of D-Day. President Biden was there, along with so many veterans. So few are left with us, but the ones that there are, you know, ranging in age from 97 on up, were there to be honored. But 2 days before, as we've discovered, of the many votes that take place in Congress occasionally, there was one on Tuesday that included an amendment by Marjorie Taylor Greene to defund NATO. Now, it didn't pass, of course. It barely got 10% of the votes of all the members of Congress. But, you know, thought you should know that Tom Tiffany was one of them. One of only 46 House Republicans voting for an amendment to defund NATO. The amendment would have struck down more than $430 million in NATO funding. But before you get thinking, well, yeah, why are we sending money to those countries? It wasn't for those countries. The money was going to go into the Military Construction and Veterans Affairs Appropriations Bill to work on infrastructure that helps with U.S. troops that are staying in Europe to help support NATO. So Tom Tiffany, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others were voting against the troops. That's why 157 House Republicans voted against it, but not Tom Tiffany, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and a handful of others. In Arizona yesterday, Donald Trump held a rally in Phoenix. Same old BS, same old lies, same old gaslighting, same old whipping the crowd into a frenzy in the 110-degree heat. About a dozen people needed to be taken to a hospital for dehydration. But also in Arizona yesterday, Jake Hoffman, a Republican state senator, pleaded not guilty for his role in the fake electors' plot to steal the 2020 election. Hoffman is among those in the run-up to January 6, 2021, who tried to persuade Vice President Mike Pence to not accept the state's official electoral vote ballots and instead call on Republican-controlled state legislatures in states like Arizona and Wisconsin to decide which candidates' electors would be used, overruling the will of their state's voters. Texts from Trump during that time, of course, suggested that states should have refused to seat Democratic electors regardless of the election outcome. Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, is going to be arraigned on that case this morning. And look who else is. Campaign aide Mike Roman, the campaign aide who was charged this week with felony forgery charges here in Wisconsin, as the fake electors case continues to swirl around those who tried to steal an American election. And one last thing today is the anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1965, Griswold v. Connecticut, the 59th anniversary of a case that said married couples have a right to privacy and to be free from government restriction when it comes to accessing birth control. It was later expanded, freedom for mixed marriages, freedom for same-sex marriages. It was the foundation of the right to privacy for women's abortion rights until this Supreme Court took that away. And as you know, the Senate earlier this week, thanks to every Senate Republican but one, voted not to codify contraceptive protection as the law of the land. The Midwest Farm Report is next, and then our interview with DNC Chair Jamie Bach, or Jamie Harrison. You're up north. She's never the same unless you add that in there. Yacht Rock Friday continues with Kenny Loggins from his 1979 album, Keep the Fire, which, by the way, you talk about Yacht Rock songs. Keep the Fire is one that becomes an earworm. We'll look at that for next week. By the way, this song, This Is It, co-written with and Michael. Backing vocals by
Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald,
I mean, course. You listen to that book, you find out how many songs those two wrote together for him, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Kenny Loggins is an integral part of the 80s career of Michael McDonald.
I have to go back this weekend and find the YouTube series that actually, you know, really kicked off the term yacht rock for this genre. It's kind of a spoof.
I've been meaning to tell you that. So that there's a web series and it's fun and everything. Mm-hmm. They came out with a couple of podcasts. Okay. I was really disappointed. I was really sad. I thought it would just be them talking about Yacht Rock, and it's not really.
It's not. See, you just got to stick with what you know.
Exactly. Okay.
Although, This Is It did win 1981's Grammy for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance, so, you know, we got that going for us.
Yeah, we do!
In the Up North News Daily newsletter, today is National Donut Day. We'll tell you about some Wisconsin bakeries that have won accolades for making some of the best donuts around. Also, a link to our recent interview with a vice president from the National Farmers Union about Congressman Derek Van Orden being angry that people are describing his support of a cut for nutrition benefits, because it's a cut. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. And I'm joined now by the chair of the Democratic National Committee, Jamie Harrison. Chair Harrison, good morning. Thank you for joining us on Up North News Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's going to be a pleasure having you here for the State Democratic Convention, which is taking place this week. Certainly, people are thinking about the Milwaukee area in terms of the Republican National Convention before too much longer. Construction is underway for the stage and everything at the Fiserv Forum. But state Democrats are getting together here. You're going to be one of the special guests, no doubt talking about how, honestly, I can't think of a voter you could meet that you wouldn't say to them, your vote counts. Every vote in this state is going to count.
Every single vote. And I hope folks will sit back in Wisconsin and understand really how much power you have to really determine not only the majority in the United States Senate, but you also have the power to really determine who is the most powerful person on the face of this planet. You are at the center of the political universe, not just of the political, yes, it's important here in this country, but all over the world, people will be looking at what happens in Wisconsin. And so I want you all to know, it doesn't matter if you're the richest person in Wisconsin or the poorest person in Wisconsin, whether you're the most highly educated or the most uneducated, you have the same one vote. And that one vote has tremendous power to determine the future of this nation. And so it's important that you don't sit on the sidelines, you don't sit on your couch, you go out and you exercise your power. You go out and you vote. And make sure you're voting for somebody who actually gives a damn about you and your family and your community, that's going to fight for you each and every day. And that, I can tell you, that one person is Joe Biden. He's been doing it for the past 4 years, and he will do it for another 4 years. Can't say that about the other guy.
No, and I think one of the points that's been made, and you hinted at it as well, is you're not just voting for one guy, and you're not voting for 1 year. This year's vote has a real legacy. I mean, just look at the attempt by Senate Democrats to codify the protection to contraceptive care. And of course, every Senate Republican voting against it. We know what the current makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court looks like. So we really are talking about the potential that a vote this year is going to affect people's rights for many years to come.
That's exactly right. And it's a ripple effect. And it's important to understand how all of this works together. The folks that you send to the state house to represent you, the folks that you you elect as judges and justices on a local level, and then the people you send to Washington, D.C., and that some of those people, your U.S. senators, have an impact on what happens in the federal judiciary. The judges that are appointed for life, the U.S. Supreme Court justices that will be appointed over the course of the next 4 years, long-term ramifications. And we have seen those ramifications come to roost, really, over these past few years. Right now in this country, for the first time in 50 years, women don't have complete control over their own reproductive rights. They don't have the freedom to control their own bodies. We've seen the decimation of affirmative action. We've seen attacks on voting rights in this country. And it's partly because of a right-wing zealots that we have put on the Supreme Court. And those people have been appointed by Republican presidents and confirmed by Republican senators in the United States Senate.
We talk about the different, blocks, the different slices of voters in Wisconsin and elsewhere. We talk a lot about, the rural economy. We talk about suburban voters. Let's talk for a moment about communities of color in Wisconsin. We know that Vice President Harris was recently here, part of her economic opportunity tour, talking about small business opportunities, grants. I've talked at length about what former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is going to be doing to help get funds from the Inflation Reduction Act into job creation, in all communities in Milwaukee. You're going to be, during your visit here, too, you're going to spend some time talking about, the opportunities and the differences in records when voters in communities of color, again, make their decision on who to vote for.
That's exactly right. I'm having a roundtable with Black men while I'm in Milwaukee. And we're going to talk about the agenda that the Biden-Harris administration and Democrats have really been pursuing over these past 4 years, and how they have actually delivered for the Black community and specifically Black men. Look, folks, the facts are the facts. We have the lowest Black unemployment rate on record. Black wealth has increased over 60% since the pandemic. We've seen the narrowest racial wealth gap in 20 years. Black businesses are growing at the fastest pace that we've seen over 30 years. We're lowering prescription drug prices for many of our seniors, capping the cost of insulin at $35 a year. We've seen historic investments in our historically Black colleges and universities, over $16 billion. We've seen student loan forgiveness. No president before this president has ever gotten rid of that barrier that's to the American dream that so many folks have in terms of student loan debt. Joe Biden over $150 billion for almost 5 million people, many of them African-American. Just the other day, the vice president was talking about how hospital medical debt has been such a barrier for so many people, bringing down credit ratings. I know so many folks in the Black community that it has been a huge issue for. Junk fees, all of these exorbitant fees at banks and other places that, again, eat away at the money that we can take away and bring back to our households. These are the things that this administration has been fighting for. And sometimes Republicans have stood in the way to try to block. But Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Democrats in the House and Senate are committed to getting it done and improving the quality of life of all communities, but specifically the Black.
There are so many issues we could talk about. I've got time for one more. So let's take inflation and the economy overall, because again, we have, you know, the vibe that's out there versus the economic data. But for, again, when you're talking to Black men, others who are heads of households and who are in working class families, and they look at, you know, prices as they are and as they were, what are you telling them as far as what the Biden-Harris administration has been doing about that and what they would do going forward compared to what would happen if Donald Trump got a second term?
Well, and going after some of these fees, these exorbitant fees, are part of the Biden-Harris administration's strategy to make sure folks have more money. Because what we've seen is that many of these companies, their prices have stayed high and they're getting record profits. So it's not because the market is demanding that they're doing it. They've seen an opportunity. And Joe Biden has been going after these companies, been going after the airlines, have been going after some of these big grocery and retail stores to make sure that we drive down the cost for the American people so that they have more money in their pockets. And what does Donald Trump want to do? He actually wants to give those folks even more money. He's already said and promised to some of his biggest donors that if he gets back in, he's going to give the largest billionaire class, all of these big businesses, more tax cuts. All the while, we need more relief for working people in this country. That type of obstruction that we're getting from the MAGA Republicans in the House and the Senate. When Joe Biden is trying to bring down the cost of childcare, trying to bring down the cost of elderly care, trying to make sure that we raise wages. You know, just recently he came to Wisconsin and announced in Racine, the same site where Donald Trump was a few years ago, that and Trump promised 13,000 manufacturing jobs, and it was a manufacturing boom and the jobs never came. Joe Biden just went into that same community on the same site and said, listen, we're going to bring almost 2,300 union, good paying union jobs by Microsoft into that area. And it's going to fundamentally change the landscape. That is the difference. Donald Trump likes to talk about change. Joe Biden is about doing the change. And we see it day in and day out.
The chair of the Democratic National Committee, Jamie Harrison. Chairman Harrison, thank you again for your time. I really enjoyed the visit. Hope we can do it again sometime between the convention and Election Day. I sense you won't be a stranger to Wisconsin. Thank you again.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
6:45 now on Up North News Radio. And a reminder that our Scani Summer Text to Win contest is coming up at 7:07. Get set to text today's keyword using the Civic Media app. Has a little text feature on that. Send us this hour's, well, that next hour's keyword between 7 and 8 o'clock, and you could be in the running for a chance to win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack, Brewers tickets, even your choice of a staycation grand prize, all that coming up at 7:07 this morning. There was a new law and a decision made in Oklahoma that has implications in Wisconsin that I wanted to share with you. I'll start by saying that it has now been 338 days that Republicans have been sitting on money that was meant to clean up polluted drinking water in Wisconsin, water contaminated with PFAS, those industrial chemicals. 338 days, Republicans would rather see contaminated water than approve money that was already in the state budget and that Governor Evers already signed. I tell you that to tell you this. In Oklahoma, the governor there, Kevin Stitt, has now signed into law a measure that gives poultry farmers and poultry companies immunity from polluting Oklahoma's waterways. The Senate bill says that if the companies or farmers appear to be following state law, they can't be sued even if their actions cause harm. The proposal says that if chicken companies and farmers follow a nutrient management plan, they'll be protected from criminal or civil accountability, even if what they're doing ends up polluting waterways. Said Governor Stitt in just a few words, you're immune. You're immune is the Oklahoma governor's message to big business and to mega farms. There is one consequence. It makes the pollution of chicken waste while not following safety guidelines a misdemeanor, with a fine ranging from $500 a day to $10,000 a day. But if you think that something like that will be enforced with any kind of teeth in Oklahoma, I have some beachfront property there to sell you as well. And that just takes us to Wisconsin, where Republicans, as we said yesterday with Joseph Pecky, they're not blocking this money because they want contaminated water, but they will do whatever they have to do on behalf of big business, whether it's Wisconsin Manufacturers Commerce, any other industry lobbies. The language they're insisting on in return for no longer holding the money hostage is meant to provide more protection for polluters. And again, like Oklahoma, if they give the appearance of cooperating, then they won't have to pay for the cleanup. The DNR will, is what Republicans are saying. Well, what does that mean? It means you're going to pay for the cleanup rather than the polluters. That's where we stand on day 338 of Republicans holding hostage $125 million to clean up contaminated drinking water in Wisconsin. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. And if you have a word, try to preach for hell. That's a mighty long time, but I'm in crazy. Punch a higher floor.
Today, Prince would have been 66 years old, born this day in 1958, passed away far too young at the age of 57 back in 2016. Also, in today's history lesson, on this day in 1993, it was Prince's 35th birthday when he became the artist formerly known as Prince, when he changed his stage name to an unpronounceable symbol. And it just tells you something about Prince that while, of course, there was mockery and things about that, he basically got away with it. You know, he used that for however many years it was, you know, while he had this dispute with the record companies. Plenty of other people would have tried that and been laughed out of the room.
Yeah.
And it never would have stuck.
Or caved.
For him, it stuck.
Or caved. Been like, whatever.
Whatever.
But he was Prince. I just watched the New Girl episode entitled Prince. Mm-hmm. It is, he's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, he was in the episode?
Oh, yeah, he's in the episode. You should,
see, I mean, I've never seen the series at all.
And
I knew I was missing out. I really like Zooey Deschanel.
I mean,
everything else I've seen her in, I've just never seen that series.
I mean, it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite sitcoms. Mm-hmm. But that episode is just like, there's a scene where, I don't know how to explain it, but basically Prince just walks up on them and he's like, hi. And he's like, I'm Prince. I'm sorry, I didn't give you time to properly freak out. You may freak out. And they then just managed to absolutely freak out. Actually, here, I found the, here we go.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Prince. So what seems to be the problem? Oh. How rude of me. I haven't given you enough time to freak out yet. You may do so now.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
And I know every single person I know who loves Prince would have that reaction if they would have met Prince.
Of course they would. Yeah, so. That's great. Let's see. Former Vice President Mike Pence. We've already mentioned him today. He turns 65 today. And singer Tom Jones. Happy birthday to him. He turns 84.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's doing the Carlton dance right now. This is on my. This will come up on shuffle on my playlist, and I'll run that whole thing through. I still like it.
I love the little horn section,
just right here. Yeah. We need more of that.
The Welsh romance king.
Yes, and I saw a clip of him on a British talk show recently. Still has the chops.
Oh.
Still hitting the notes. Still funny. So. Yeah, that was one where he kind of, like a lot of people, they go, okay, you had your time and you almost kind of become a caricature of yourself. And then they come back into the public stage and you go, oh, I kind of missed you. You're kind of funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We love you.
Yes, we actually loved you. Thanks for coming back. The number one song on this day in 1975 was by John Denver.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack.
It's just rise, the collapse inside. Of the clapping.
Thank
just
God,
like
I'm a country boy.
And then they're like, okay, we're done. We're done. We can't do this for the whole song. That was the third number one hit for John Denver, and it was the number one song this day in 1975. The number one album this day in 1975 made some history. It was the first album to ever debut at number one on the album chart. Elton John's Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy with this single off it. Imagine working at a top 40 station and you're going from the one song to the other. There was John Denver, and here's Elton John.
When I think of those East End lights, muggy nights.
Why do I say it? Of course, it happened all the time.
Yeah, I was gonna...
God bless the boss jocks of 70s radio, you know. Also on this day in 1975, all sheer coincidence, Sony launched Betamax, the very first video cassette recorder format. I think it was just earlier this week we mentioned when VHS, the launch of that was also this week in history.
I didn't know that. I mean, yeah. I didn't realize we're so close to each other.
I think in both cases it was because they were at the Consumer Electronics Show, which is an annual thing, so that would make sense.
Gotcha.
Let's see. The musical Grease debuted on Broadway on this day in 1972. A lot of folks think it, you know, started as a movie with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, but it was a very successful play that premiered this day 52 years ago.
Yeah.
And the summer film of 1984 was released on this day. I want a new drug.
I know.
Oh, wait, no.
Right now.
You can't unhear it.
No? Civic Media is writing a check to Huey Lewis right now.
Yeah, that's right. But the funny thing is, it's a perfectly good song by Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
In his own right, you know? It's just that the similarities, you couldn't ignore them.
And,
you know,
the thing is I'm sure Ray Parker didn't go like, I'm going to rip off. I'm sure the studio execs were like, you are going to write a Huey Lewis song, and that's all there is to it.
I could never be a songwriter because every time I'd try to do something, it would just lead me right into some other song that already exists.
You
know, you're playing something and next thing you know, you're doing a Huey Lewis tune. Let's see. Back in Black by AC/DC was certified this day in 2004 as Double Diamond, having sold 20 million copies in the U.S. And it was only the sixth album to do so at the time. And finally, on this day in 1994, Stone Temple Pilots released their second album, Purple, with the single. I'm going to say, Pat, would you and Greg just step back and so we can just turn this up to 11 for the rest of it? And we'd say, no, no, but we have a lot of great music stations, too, that we should get a shift at one of
Good
these days.
Good luck.
So we can just introduce that instead. On the National Day calendar, hey, if you are a supply chain professional, this is your day. It is International Supply Chain Professionals Day.
Party up!
This is World Food Safety Day. This is National VCR Day, no doubt having something to do with Beta and VHS. Who still has VCRs? I know we talked about this before. There are plenty who still do. So this is, yeah, this guy, Greg says, pointing at himself. This is National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. And as we mentioned before in the Up North News Daily Newsletter, this is National Donut Day. So if you're trying to behave yourself, today's a cheat day. Today, go get yourself a donut. Bring some for your coworkers or wherever you're heading.
It's donut day. Let's go crazy.
Let's get nuts. Coming up in our second hour, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will be with us. Also, we'll have Jennifer Schulze pinch-hitting for Mark Jacob, talking about media coverage of the week's big events. And we'll wrap things up with some poignant notes and stories from our friend Dan Schumacher. Coming up next, you're Up North.